Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the No Uncertain Baker Psychic Hour. We had a caller in the queue, and I don't know, I guess they got a little bit impatient because they dropped, or maybe something else came in for them. Who knows? But here we are, ready to take your calls, 914-338-0164. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And as always, we invite you to join us on our social media sites that are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic. Those are Facebook and Twitter. And I need to post today, which I have not done. I have to post multitasking, talking while I type. It's not the easiest task. Okay. You so, talk for a second while I post our show and try to say something creative.
When you really analyze what a reading is, you're really looking at multi-layers of a reading. Some people will call a radio show and say, I want a spirit reading, I want a past life reading, I want...
connect with the other side.
Yeah, they have different...
something about the future.
They have different questions they ask. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because it gives the assumption that the reader has a certain control panel. So if you ask a certain question, they seem to be able to go to that specific question and answer it, as opposed to a psychic just reading energy and giving you whatever they come up with. So the question is, when you ask a psychic a question,
the question is when you ask a psychic a question.
Yeah.
Okay, lots of questions.
How does a psychic know how to answer it?
Yeah.
In relation to the question being asked? I mean, is there a certain vibe they go to, or control panel, or, you know, what? How do they answer that question?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because I was pondering last night the difference between feeling and knowing, being a psychic. Because as a psychic, number one, I mean, you're using your own abilities aside from connecting with the outside, the astral realm, elements of the astral realm, spirits, angels, people that are crossed over. So that's, I mean, a separate from your own psychic ability. And so there's, you know, the intuition that a psychic uses, and then a psychic ability where there's specific information that the psychic gets. Sometimes, you know, you get a feeling with a person and there's a vibe, a knowing, but it's not a knowing. It's more of an intuitive knowing. When they ask a question, you know, I feel like this is going to be positive for you, or I feel like this is going to be negative. Then you get specific information, you know, regarding their question, and you're able to get validations and answers to those questions on a more specific level, which is more of the sixth chakra versus the third. But then the other, like you said, when you get into different categories of people's questions or type of readings they want, they're, you know, a psychic has to get beyond sometimes his or her own psychic ability as far as being able to be intuitive or know certain answers. There's a connection that has to be made with the other side.
Yeah. You know, I mean, psychic can be sort of a free range of energy where they are sort of a jack of all trades and the question.
Or a Jill of all trades. Let's not be sexist.
Yeah. But when you're, you know, it's like asking an historian or a politician, what's your favorite movie? You know, they are, or asking a plumber, what's your favorite restaurant? What do you recommend?
I don't know. I think asking a plumber what their favorite restaurant is probably not where I'd go.
Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know.
Plumbing on restaurants. They kind of know which restaurants are functioning right. But the idea that a psychic, first of all, a psychic has to be pretty knowledgeable, you know, and not just send allusions to pretty imagery or make common statements like the angels are watching you or you're going to have a great year. I mean, there's got to be more to a psychic vibration than that. So you get into more specific. It'd be like saying, did you like that movie? Yeah, it was good. It was good. Like you're one of the good fellows. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, there's a show we watch on the Food Channel where we don't watch it, but sometimes we will watch it. And it's a guy, and his name is God, actually. And the commentary is so shallow, you know, this tastes good. It's got a lot of kick.
Yeah, I mean, good. He puts his foot in his mouth and he nods his head. It's good.
And you can tell that there's not a great deal of knowledge behind his, he got famous for some reason. I'm not sure why, but very rich, very, very wealthy. He's like, I think the highest paid.
Well, yeah,
highest paid person on the Food Channel.
Personality and style. And
yeah, it's a whole shtick or whatever. But there's not a lot of, obviously he didn't go to culinary school. There's not a lot of knowledge about food that he has outside of, you know,
well,
having his own
that,
restaurants and,
that,
you know.
But I see it coming or it's going to happen or something like that. Or you have an angel around you or, you know, your mother sends love. There's got to be something more specific to some degree to validate
the fact that a spirit's coming in. Well, in fact, the spirit's coming in.
Well,
you're actually connecting to something.
But now, you know, to have that kind of mind, what is the mind of a psychic? Because the mind of a psychic is composed of a lot of intuition, but more than just intuition, because intuition would be wisdom. It's sort of wisdom and a feel for things. It's a feeling. It can't be specifics.
Right.
So they're the academic quality of being intuitive. They have a certain ability to go into and if you're asking a psychic a certain question, bringing back out a plumber, well, what do you have a problem with? The sink? The tub? Do you have a clogged drain? Is something leaking? You know, is it outside? Inside? And their knowledge, you know, and then I've watched plumbers work because some are very good and they know how to adapt to the problem and fix it almost in a style that seems to be unconventional at times. They're cutting pipes and measuring and there's a lot of intuition that goes on in terms of their learning experience. Well, it's the same with a psychic. A psychic has to kind of get to a category, and then some are better at some categories than others, and some have a broad range of abilities.
Well, yeah, and you talk about being knowledgeable. Obviously, the more knowledgeable a person is as a psychic, then the more information that they can provide. I mean, being well-read.
Yeah.
Obviously, you watch a lot of movies. So there's a lot of illusions you can draw and because of that knowledge that you have. So, I mean, obviously any knowledge that a psychic has outside of being psychic is going to enhance a reading, especially because you're meeting people from all walks of life. So the more knowledge you have about any medicine, law, the better your readings are going to be. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And there's a caller. I don't know if she wants to talk. So press one if you want to talk. Anyway, Neil, go ahead.
You know, it's sort of, in a crude example, it's sort of like somebody who knows the area, and you say to them, how do I get to the store? How do I get to the restaurant? How do I get to the library?
Yeah, that would be not a question to ask me.
So, you know, someone who has a general knowledge knows the directions to a specific area.
Yeah, she wants
to
speak.
The same with a psychic. Psychics kind of know the direction upon which the destination is being sought. So it's just an introduction to how psychics work, not to mention you have to have an ability to begin with.
Okay. This is, we're going to bring on our caller, Jennifer. Hi.
Hello, Neil.
Good. You know what? You're really garbled. Shoot.
Okay. Well, actually, Neil sounded garbled too, so you sound
really?
Fine, but Neil sounds, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to bring him, move the...
Could you understand anything I said, or was it all...
It was kind of like mush.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I think we're on the wrong... I don't know. I don't know what to do. Okay. Do you have a... Can you hear us now?
I can hear you. Yeah, you were fine. It was just Neil that was all garbled.
But what about now when he talks? Talk, Neil.
How do I sound now?
You sound perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so I was too far away from the mic.
Something. Okay. So go ahead. What's your question?
So I have the new variant. It's called the sweaty variant. So I've been sick for about 4 days. But
COVID, sweaty variant?
Yeah, the sweaty variant, yes.
I heard of that.
The one
okay.
where you, yes, you sweat for about 4 days. It's, I think, Richard Simmons was patient zero with his sweating to the oldies. I'm trying to be funny like Neil, but failing.
Oh, well, that's okay. So you're not feeling well.
No, I'm not feeling well, but, you know, luckily I've got a job where I can have sick days and they let that happen. Just wondering, so you have my numbers. I'm September, like, is there a month? Because I find, like, August, September, I always have some sort of problem going on. Is there, like, 1 month that may be significant for some people?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess... Possibly, if you pull, creatively looking at the numbers, you're born 4370.
Right.
And you do have an 8 in your higher number, which is August. 17 in the cross, so that's an 8 too. So, I mean, maybe, yeah. I used to always feel like January and February, long time ago. They're my favorite months now, but February, January, I always used to hate. It always seemed to be problematic for me, so I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, on a biological level, our bodies are geared to adapt certain months, and some of us are more warm-blooded, cold-blooded, some of us can tolerate heat better, some of us cold, but your body goes through cycles for months. You adapts to the energy of the month. And we all know that every month is basically a little bit different from any ever month. So your breath, your chemistry, your blood pulse, your sweat glands, everything that you have, your mental state, is all connected to the months, more or less the days of the year. If, for instance, you had a bad experience in August, when you were a child, August may come around with always some sense of vague anxiety that you haven't pinpointed yet, but there's a reason for it. So, you know, the month, maybe there was trauma during in the embryo stage for a certain month, and that might be. Maybe there was trauma right after you were born. So you see, Jennifer, there's reasons aside from just looking at the numerical value of a birth date to determine why certain months bring out some different variants of psyche or emotion for you, physicality.
Well, let our response. So, I mean, are there any, I mean, do you like, first of all, are you a summer person?
No, I'm not a summer person. I'm more of a fall person. And it does seem to be late. Like, it feels like it's more attached to the period of Virgo, like end of August, most of September. So I don't know if it's maybe something. And I can't think of anything other than back to school. And usually I was switching schools every year. So
maybe.
It was stressful, always stressful for me.
Well, maybe that's why. I mean, she was switching schools every year. So that, I mean, that could be why, more than the birth date, I think, too. I think Neil pinpointed it, you know. And if you don't like summer, I mean, really, you're in the hot, August, like the hottest month. I don't know about your location, if it's the hottest month, but it's pretty much the hottest.
You know, it might
here.
Have something to do with the dread of going back to school. You know, there's a lot of, if you had problems with going back to school and socializing and that kind of thing, that might be part of the reasoning behind it. If you felt some sense of security in the early part of summer, being home, having less responsibility, being closer to your family, that might account for it. You know, there's so many different reasons that may be part of it, aside from the physiological cycle of your body. There just may be parts of your body that have been induced by a certain rhythm where your body dips and ebbs and flows in a different way during the months of the year. You know, you'd have to kind of get into a deep analysis to pinpoint the problem, but this is a general analysis as to how to explain. I don't pick up that there's anything, you know, Hitchcock surprise ending to your dilemma. I don't think there's, oh my God, you know, I was picked up by Martians in August and maybe my memory. I don't think anything like that is going on, but I do believe that, like all human beings, you have certain months that you respond to. August and September get very hot. They're typically the hottest months of the year, and they precede fall. And when we get to fall, we have a dropping of energy. It's a dramatic drop. So when you imagine, it's almost like the earth is releasing its cells. It's releasing its hair, its cells, its molecules. Everything's falling back to the earth.
It's molting.
Yeah. So when we get into that pattern and being a creature of the earth, there may be something that you're anticipating, because maybe, in fact, it isn't August or September, but it's the early part of fall where you have problems. And so you're preparing for that element. But then in the early part of fall, when you reduced your problems to some sense of comfort again, what your anxiety would be linked to would be the end of summer, because fall, ultimately, you resolved your issues. So, you know, Jennifer, it's just a lot of different explanations, generally speaking.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Hope you feel better soon.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
You know, the thing is, I hated February and January for some reason. I mean, I always felt like there was drama that occurred during that period of time. But you know, I love the winter. So it's strange. And I really despise summer. So I don't know on my level why that was. But I don't feel that way anymore at all.
You don't feel that way?
Not at all. I love January and February. It's one of my favorite months. You know, here, we don't even get fall, really. October, well, it used to be my favorite month of the year, and October's hot now.
Yeah, our minds adapt to changes, and so
yeah,
different times of the year mean different things to us.
Okay, we've got another caller, so let's bring this person on. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, Lucy, hi.
Good, good.
What's going on?
A lot. I'm moving again.
You're moving
again. I was kind of Yeah, the end of September, but I just already start moving my stuff to the other place.
So it's another rental?
No, I'm going to live in the building that I have, and I decided to live there, and that's it.
Wait, you're buying?
No. It's the rental property. I'm just going to live in one of the apartments, the small apartment.
But
like,
it's
I went from a
rental.
Big, beautiful house. Yeah, it's a rental, yeah. But it's my own rental. Yes, it's my own rental. I'm just going to stay one of the apartments.
So you're moving.
Then I went for.
You're moving within the same building. You're moving within
I'm moving from my home that I saw. I moved to an apartment with my sister.
Right.
And now it's already almost a year. In September,
right.
I'm going to move back to another place, sort of different place.
So it's
but
not
only,
in the same building. Did you hear her say in the same building? Okay.
No. Okay.
No, I just misheard what you said. It's.
Oh, okay. No, I saw my house, then I moved to an apartment.
Yeah.
Out of the city. Then and now it's going to be a year in September 30.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have been moving. I have been moving since my things. Some of them I moved to the garbage. Some of them I'm moving to a rental property that I own. I just kept one of the apartments open for me because I decided to go and live alone because living with my sister wasn't a great idea because we had different point of view or how we want to live our lives. Then I'm going to move by myself, and that I have been doing for a while, getting the place ready and moving the stuff. Most of the stuff went to the garbage because I'm moving from a bigger space to a medium space. Now my space is going to be even smaller.
Well, the idea of you moving, Lucy, is now we can go to your birthday because you have a 101, and those one and zeros indicate earth movement. It's the root chakra. The thing also is that 101 is a 2, and then you have a 6. And that reflects your year of 62. So you have, and because you're anchored by a 1, Earth, you do have in your life this sequence and occurrence of different moves, and sometimes basically in a year. Your master number is 8, so that secures that your moves are based upon your income and your security level of owning property. Because 8 is money.
So she does, and she does own property that she rents out.
Yeah, and she's moving into a property she owns.
That's where I'm confused. She says it's rent.
Well, she's moving into a property she owns, one of the apartments. Is that right?
No.
Yes, it's right. Mm-hmm.
So you own.
Right.
I'm confused. So you own the property where you're moving.
I am actually renting an apartment with my sister, and I own a place that is downtown. I am living out of the city. Then we did this because of my sister and blah, blah, blah. But then I figured out that it's not going to work out because she likes to, I like to live in a more abundant, prosperous way. And then she's like, I don't want to get details, but everything has to be half and...
The question is
proportion.
Because I'm confused. I'm confused because I remember you selling your house and moving to a rental, but you have a rental property in upstate New York, right? That you rent out to tenants. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The place that you're moving into now in the city, is it a rental?
Yeah, no, it's in the city. No. It's not in New York City.
No, that's not what I'm asking. Is it a rental or is it a place
you
own?
The new place you're moving to, do you own the building?
Yes, Neil is right. Happens that in where I own the space, it's upstate New York, but it's in a small city. It's not New York City.
Right. So
that's the part that you're confused.
Right. Well,
You own
the building that you are renting the apartment in?
Now I'm renting for somebody else in a place where Neil have it right.
Neil doesn't have it right because he thinks that you own the building that you're renting the apartment in. That's not right, according to what I'm hearing.
Okay, let me tell you again. I used to own two properties.
Okay.
My home, a small building, then with a small apartment. I sold my home, then I kept the small building with a small apartment.
Okay.
Then I went and rent with my sister apartment. Now it's almost a year in September. I decided from since December, as soon as I moved in with her, it was a lot of discord with her because she likes this way, that way, blah, blah, blah. She wants to control everything. Even if I turn on the light, she wanted to control it.
Uh-huh.
Then since December, I decided I didn't want to live with her. Then somebody moved on January, and I kept that apartment open for me. Then I had been fixing it. Even though this apartment has to be kept to September 30th, I already moved my things there. And
so,
I'm here because she's not here.
Right. So you own the building that you're moving into?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You own
and
the
I am still paying rent here.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you own the building that you're moving into. We did not know this before about Lucy, that she owned two properties. We didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. Neil remembers. Yes.
Well,
Neil remembered that I asked. Remember that time that you say, I see you with the bricks? I say, oh, yeah, because I'm fixing a wall. I'm contracting somebody to fix a wall. Then maybe you forgot.
No, I remember the bricks.
Telling me.
I remember the bricks. I didn't remember that you owned two properties. So, I mean, that's, you know, whatever. I didn't remember. So I get it.
Yeah, November. That was the time that I was looking for somebody to fix the brick wall. It was a lot of people coming in, but then none of them wanted to do the work.
So question, in this building, are there other tenants that you, I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be another tenant.
But I mean, how many apartments are in the building? How many in the brick building that you own, that you're moving into, how many tenants, how many apartments are there?
There are three, but then two available. I kept one. And then the other one, I just got to fix it again.
Oh, okay. And then you rent it out to other people?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So it will be income for you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that took a while to figure out. So I'm sorry that I was not totally together. So what's your question, Lucy?
No, I just was telling you that it's a lot of stuff going on in my life. Then that I'm moving again, and this time I decided to do it for my own. Then I told my sister and my friend, to my friend, the best friend that I always had. I told him I just gonna live by myself, and he's not gonna be coming to my place like he used to a lot when I used to own the house. Oh, he used to come for the weekends and this and that. Then he gets me busy that I wanted to go out with some other people, hiking and everything else. Then he got kind of upset, and then he said he loves me and this and that, that he's going to change. And that's it. Now my question is, I met this person, but then we were going out a couple times, and then he sent me a test that he's not looking forward to go out with me anymore.
I don't know.
That's good. That's okay because I am not settled. If you tell me if we're going out one or three or four times, I don't expect to. Like, he knows, and my other friends know, and I don't know that kind of kissy or sexy people that want to sleep with anybody. I don't even drink water from somebody else. I tell them, listen, I don't even drink water from my son and my daughter, bottled water. It has to be a clean bottle of water. has to be brand new or well watched.
Well,
and
you know,
he said,
what we're talking about, Lucy, is private space and boundaries. So what's happening is you're moving because your private space was violated by your sister's demands, and you're explaining how your private space has certain requirements, even in the form of drinking from the same bottle or not drinking from the same bottle. You're moving into a new space where hopefully you'll have security of comfort. So you're going through a change. The guy that was going to, the guy that was seeing you that decided he didn't want a relationship was probably not healthy for you to begin with, because it seems as though you're clearing out negative energies in your own life and you're getting your feet back on the ground again. And once you're established in your apartment, you'll probably start to get into the vibe that you're supposed to be in, where you find that level of comfort again. And that will probably be a relationship if that's part of your desire.
Yeah, but then, I found myself a little bit to be a little bit, because my other friends say that I'm kind of difficult person to be with. I don't know, but then I say, well, I don't know, probably.
Subjective. That's subjective. You know, what is one person's difficulties may be another person's vibe, because they're the same way. You just haven't found your companion yet that meets your vibration. You know, I mean, objectively, you might be difficult to live with, but subjectively, it depends on opinion. And some people may not find you difficult. Some people may like the way you live, and they feel comfortable with it. So I wouldn't worry about that. And I wouldn't allow yourself to be pegged as a difficult person. You are who you are.
Yeah.
You just haven't found the vibration of a partner yet that meets your standards and your idiosyncrasies.
Okay, because this guy say, what I'm looking for when in a partner is to be able to relax, be myself, and be accepted for who I am. I want to be able to enjoy the time together and not to be judged. That the way that he felt.
Yeah, perfect.
What do you mean? What
he wrote me a test. He wrote me a big a long test. He didn't even. Huh?
He wrote that, or you wrote that?
No, he wrote it.
He wrote it.
Oh.
A beautiful, beautiful long test.
So.
Yeah.
And are you saying that he in the relationship felt judged?
He felt judged. He felt unable to be relaxed and be himself. He said that the choices and decisions that he makes are very important and deliberate, well researched, well thought out, and based on my own life experience. And then he said, I don't expect anyone else to necessarily agree with them, but I do expect others to respect my decision. To say, wow, I didn't see that coming, you know. He wrote me a book.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, maybe it's
because
you have different standards of living than he does. And he felt maybe restricted by your, you know, Go ahead.
No, I think it's because he owns a business for many years and he has many employees. And then a couple of times when he was asking questions, he was like interviewing me for the job. He said, okay. And I was like, I said, oops, I don't have the answer for that one, you know. One time I almost say, oh, I can send you my resume or my current BTA, my life, the jobs that I have and the education that I have. It felt like that way too, you know?
Go ahead.
I felt like he was trying to hire somebody to be his life partner.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then you don't want him anyway, as Neil said, and it's better off that he's not, you know, in your life anymore, because that's obviously, you don't want to be an employee of your partner, unless you have a
My other friend, because I told him he's not going to be, he's not going to have a key on my other place. And he's not going to be just coming to my place that he used to. Then he starts crying and he say, "Oh, but I love you. I'm going to this and that." I say, "Well, your life doesn't change too much. If you love me, then that's okay. But you have to change the way that you are, because you are very, he's like very, if he says something, has to be done his way." That's another one. But he changed for a little bit, and now he continued being the same one. I don't know. But still, I told him I'm not going to give him my key for my other apartment. Because
sometimes
he's a good friend.
Yeah, that's fine. Sometimes the journey to find your ideal partner takes time. Trial and error, you go through a lot of people, maybe it's karma, but ultimately you'll find somebody. Your numbers suggest you will.
Is there,
and, 62, so.
I'm just, for some reason, Martin, anyone in your past or present, Martine Martin, that name is coming in for some reason. Martine.
He's my accountant.
It's your accountant?
Yes.
Your accountant is named Martine or Martin. Which one?
Yes. Martin.
Which one?
Nowak. Yeah.
Martin.
Martin Nowak. You almost got it right.
Okay.
That's the person that takes care of the taxes. Because I don't do my own taxes. I pay him. I write up to pay him. Yeah. It came out to you with your mind?
I'm sorry, what?
He came to your mind?
Well, yeah, I got that name, so there's a reason why I'm getting it. So what's the relationship with the accountant? Is there a problem there?
No, no problem. He's the one who does my taxes every year.
Mm-mm. He does your taxes, so there's no problem. What's your relationship with him?
Okay, he does the taxes and my ex-husband and I were together.
Uh-huh.
And now he does the taxes. He does the taxes for my ex-husband and for me too.
So he does the taxes for both of you, and you have a good relationship with him.
Yeah.
It's a friendly relationship.
It's just a relationship that goes every year. I call him by December, January. It's the only thing.
So it's just a business relationship. But I mean, what's the context of it? I mean, do you have any friendly, you know, friendly banter with him? Or is it purely business?
No, it's purely business.
Well, it's interesting.
And they know me for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the guy that you were dating, you're talking about him being like a business partner or a business or you being his employee. So maybe the name Martine is coming in because of that. I don't know.
Yeah, Martine. Martine Nowak. But his name is, the name that the person I was talking about is, he's Greg. Greg. His name is Greg.
But there's a reason, Mark. Right. There's Mark. Oh. We can look at the birth date if you want. But there's a reason that name is coming in. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. Maybe you can help me out, Neil.
Well, it's not really a matter right now of birth dates. It's a matter of you moving through life and finding your comfort center, where you don't have complications. You had complications with your sister, you had complications with Greg, you had complications with your ex-husband. So, you know, in life, you have these complications, which is inferred in your birth date numbers. But what we're suggesting is that in life, I mean, your master number is 8. But it's made up of 26.
Which is
so
your
right
inverted
now,
year.
You're going to be 60 years old. And in our estimation, that vibration reaches the core issue of both the number in your day and the number in your year. But next to the number in your year is a two, which signifies that there's probably, in your case, going to be a relationship.
But you have problems in relationship built into your birthday. You've got an 11 in your 101. So that can account for why, you know, you have problems with your sisters. You probably had some issues when you were growing up. Were there issues in your family life, problems
mm-hmm.
with your parents,
yeah. mm-hmm.
in your family, your sister? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, in my family, yeah. My father, infidelity, and my mother. My mother took it just to drink. His infidelity, it's kind of, and they smoke his infidelities, smoke and drink. And my father took it in being unfaithful and workaholic. Yeah, but I'm studying myself because whatever he wrote is reflecting on me or is reflecting on him, you know? It's a reflection. What he wrote over there is a reflection of himself. But at the same time, it's my mirror. Then I'm studying myself at this point in my life.
You know, I wouldn't focus too much on what he wrote you. I mean, you want to move on and don't let it affect you too much. You know, you guys are two different people. There's someone that's going to come into your life that's going to be much better for you than this guy. And so if you linger too much on what he wrote you, it's going to impact you negatively in the future. You don't want to do that. Just forget
mm-hmm.
it. Forget it.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wrote it. Yeah, I wrote that the same test, but in a positive way. What he wrote there, I rewrote it in the positive way. I revised it.
You rewrote it yourself to make yourself to readjust.
Yes,
to your
I revised it. Mm-hmm. I am revising it in the positive way because.
So his comments help center you to self-analyze yourself in such a way that you restored your well-being. And if this stems back to a former life of criticism, you know, your mother drinking, your father's infidelities, there was a lack of nurturing, that a young child feels criticized or not accepted because the parents aren't healthy and they aren't paying attention. So you're fighting through a lot of history. And what your job is to find yourself in that history, find the true self of who you are. And sometimes people give us harsh lessons. You always learn. So his criticism, this ex-boyfriend, the criticism of you, it helps you to reevaluate who you are without being judged irresponsibly. And that's the progress towards your well-being. So ultimately, you're working towards progress. I think your move is going to help establish your stability. And then from there, you just may meet your companion.
I was thinking, yes. Yeah, I was thinking his anger. Yes, his anger evolved for the same time. Maybe he's used to that kind of woman that you're taking out a month or two and you're already sleeping with them and living with them or this and that. I say, no, that doesn't work that way in my case.
In my case,
I have to really know you and really like you to really start loving you.
Oh, so you're thinking maybe he wanted more intimacy sooner and that you weren't.
I think he feels very important. He feels that the woman he invited a woman. Maybe it's not the guys that wait and they take a woman 5-6 times. If it doesn't work the other way, then they.
Well, you know, some people have a more active, eager second chakra, and they insist that chakra maximizes their life. So if he was eager to be intimate with you, it's because he's kind of generally ruled by his second chakra.
Well, so it would be interesting. You said no birthday, but do you know his birthday?
No, I know he was born in March 1960, but I don't know.
1960? Well, that's...
Yes. 1959, because he's going to be 55. He's 59. 62 now in March. He's 62.
But you don't know the day. So, I mean, really, you know, we can't figure it out.
She said March.
Yeah.
She
said
March.
He's 62. He was born in March.
He's 62.
His year, no. He's 62 years old.
Right.
That is.
So you think he's born in 59?
He's born 1970.
No, 59.
He's 52 now.
No, he's 62 now. 62? Then he was 62.
Yeah.
He's 62. Then he was born in
1960,
something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, is he born 5'2" or 6'2"?
No. For age 5'2" or 6'2".
Oh, how old is he?
He's 52 years old.
62.
Sounds like you're saying 5'2", 52.
But you're saying 6'2".
No, 62.
Right?
He's 62 now.
Okay, so he was born in 1960.
Yeah, because it's 2022.
And he was born March. Do you know what day?
March. No, I don't know his day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not enough information. You know, the weird thing, Lucy, is today is August 26th. That's your karmic and master number, 268. So it's, you know, interesting that you chose to call on this day. I mean, probably, you know, something guiding you to our show more than a conscious choice because of those numbers matching, you know, your karmic and master number. But I wouldn't worry too much about, you know, I wouldn't, like I said before, I wouldn't linger too much on what this guy said to you. I would just kind of move on. You're, you know, very busy. You've got a lot of things going on and you don't want to be distracted by this negative energy you got from him. I mean, it's, you know, you're dealing with negative energy from this individual for him to write you this long letter.
Yeah, long email.
And how long
beautiful
did you date? How many dates did you have?
How many days we have?
Yeah.
It was like seven outings. Yeah.
So, I mean, not a relatively short, and within a what period of time? A couple months?
2 months.
Two months.
Almost exact. Almost.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, that kind of email after a relatively short period of time is kind of strange. I mean, if you wanted to break it off, you could have just said, it's not a good fit. For him to write this long letter, I don't know, it just seems a little strange.
It was a bit.
Text, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You said it was like a novel, though. So, I mean, I don't know. To me, why go to all that trouble if it's just a short relationship, break it off, move forward and, you know, move on. So I wouldn't linger on it too much. And your move is in September?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's on in September. So, you know, focus on your move and, you know, let this go. Again, I don't know where his or her accountant was coming in.
Well, no, because you see, your accountant, the reason the accountant came in is because it's about security and it's about protecting you. Does your accountant do a good job for you?
No, just the taxes. He doesn't do anything.
But I mean,
does he do a good job? Does he do his job well for you?
I think he could do better. He never advised me anything. It's a lot of stuff that he could
tell
me.
Okay, so you see, Lucy, you've come into the world with some trouble with men. It's already in your genes. It's in your history. It's in your soul. Start with your father.
That's why I was asking about the relationship with the accountant. Now you're giving more details.
So you just have that misstep in life. But what we're saying is in your lifetime, according to your code, you will find a reasonable partner. Your code says it will happen. Now you're 60, it's taken this long to get there. Maybe it might take a little longer, I don't know. But at some point, when you're still vibrant and alive and active, you will find a mate. My personal thought is that you'll probably find a mate while you're living in this new residence. It might be that then is when you find them, because it appears as though you're going through some changes. And you could find this. I mean, your next multiple is going to be a 64, and 26 is not divisible by 8, so that 66. Would be 66. But nonetheless, your past your karma of 24.
26.
The karma was at 24.
No, the karma was at 26. She's a
26. Yeah. So, and you're 60 now. So you are actually 4 years past your 34 years past your karma. Because it's been 34 years since you've turned 26. Now, 34 is a multiple of 8 because I'll tell you why. 32 would be a multiple of 8, but because 26 is 2 years beyond a multiple, 34 would be 2 years beyond 32. So my feeling is that this year, even this year, you could meet him. You could meet him even before October. Or you could meet him 9 months from October and 9 months forward. Somewhere in there you seem to meet him. If that's important to you, that seems to be your relationship line.
Okay,
so I it's okay to self-analyze yourself and to consider what you want in life and who you would like to have. It's okay to make adjustments. All of that's fine. But don't be hogtied by the past. You know, release yourself from the past. Move forward to according to what your expectations are, like Kristen said, and look forward to better things coming.
Interesting, yes. And then when you mentioned 26, I think I married my husband around that age.
Yeah, well, you would have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Around 26.
You were locked into a relationship then, and that's a good hopeful sign, no matter where it went.
Even though you divorced.
So that's what we think is going to happen.
Very interesting, yes. Very interesting, thank you. No, and I say I'm going to call you guys because I say, well, I am revising the story with Greg. I think it would be nice to talk to you too. And it's a lot of stuff. Like sometimes I feel so positive and doing my affirmations. I'm running and feeling wonderful. And then today I say, well, just let me call you. And I speak about what's going on.
Well, you know, you can always call on a personal call too. That's an option for more details. Or you could just use the radio show. It's up to you.
Okay. That's good.
Okay, Lucy. Well, hopefully it helps. Talking to us today.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Amazing. Thank you.
Bye. Well, there we have it. Yeah, we're almost out of time.
We're at the end of the show.
At the end of the line.
So, we got around to demonstrating what specific reading's about.
Okay.
Even though it took a lot of explanation.
It did.
But nonetheless.
Well, and it's interesting too, because I mean, obviously part of doing readings is a lot of, you know, of giving advice, you know.
Yeah, hopefully that's your
Dan Landers.
Yeah. a psychic's work is never done. Really, you're involved in people's lives, and you know there's never no end to it. It's just a continuum. Sometimes you go to work, you're 8-5. Psychics don't have really that privilege. Some psychics say, "Oh, I turn it off," but I have found it's hard to turn off because your brain is so preoccupied
with other people's
energy.
It's true.
It's harder to find your own energy out of all that mess than it is to separate from it.
Well, we're going to be separating from the show until next week, Wednesday. So that's what's going to be happening with Anil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We're back on the air at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific, but we will be preoccupied, I'm sure, with everybody's energy until then.
Yeah, there is no separation of radio and state here.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody.